We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
We will resume play and conduct the 2020 Stanley Cup playoffs in two hub cities. 24 of our 31 teams will resume play. And this plan will produce a worthy Stanley Cup champion.
Dumbass. Dale Arnold.
Either you see somebody who is making $8 million to play a game for a few months at a time, or you see a guy who just got asked to take an 80% pay cut.
Play for the love of the game. Bro, I'm risking my life.
Rich Keefe.
Mutt here.
And here's a pig, Mark, who did better on the Wonderlic than Mutt did.
Let's do a quick check, shall we?
Sit again, patio.
Dale and Keefe with Wiggy.
You're giving me these options of eating poo. Get off the pot or you drop the deuce.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
Not that there was ever much doubt, at least not in my mind. I don't know about you fellas. But it seems as though, no matter what, sports fans will find something to complain about, one way or the other. So yesterday, the National Hockey League became the first of the pro sports, the major four major pro sports, to actually come out with a plan, a definitive plan. Here's phase two, that'll lead to phase three, that'll lead to phase four. Still some things we got to work out, but here's the genesis of what we're going to do to bring the National Hockey League back. And immediately me and other Bruins fans start to go, we're getting screwed here. What is going on?
Well, you're right. I think, unfortunately, you're right. I'd love to sit here and tell you the NHL did a great job and this makes sense and you're being a Bruins homer and Lou's being a Bruins homer, but I'm a moron. I don't get it. I don't understand why what the round robin thing maybe you can explain it to me, guys, because I feel like because the Colorado Avalanche played 69, not 70 games, we've got to reset the entire playoff
right.
run?
It's stupid.
That's what we're doing?
It's just dumb. And that's the one thing we talked about. It's the way that the standings ended, that's how the 24 teams should have just gotten. That's how they should have decided, here's how we're going to seed them.
Like, I understand that not everybody played the same number of games. I do think there are ways around that. You could go points percentage. You could do it that way, and then it would
yep.
be fair.
Sure.
You could theoretically go to the fewest number of games that have been played by any team in the league. Let's say it's 68. And if the Bruins have played 70, well, knock off the last two Bruins games. Get them down to 70 to 68 and make everybody even in that respect. That's not quite as fair in my opinion. But point percentage would have done it easily.
Yep.
I'll tell you what I think is in their head, guys, and you tell me, Wiggy, you especially, being a pro athlete. I think what they're afraid of is these top four seeds, you know, the four seeds that have a first-round bye, they're going to be at a disadvantage if they just have to jump right back into the rigors of Stanley Cup play where the other teams will have just played a best out of five playoff series. So how do we keep those top four seeds in game action? And if they just go out and play scrimmages with each other, let's be honest, that's not the same thing.
Mm-hmm. I think actually by getting a bye, you're actually at more of a disadvantage than a team that's already played a five-game series, because at least that team that plays the five-game series, they've now gotten some real hockey under their belt. Not no scrimmages, not no, you know, exhibitions, you know, or things of that nature. They got real live playoff games under their belt, and they would be, to me, they'll be at more of an advantage for the teams that don't get the bye. Teams who get a bye, it's a disadvantage.
Maybe you're right, but let me ask you guys. I mean, so you say scrimmage, Dale, and when you say it,
Without the games meaning anything. We're just going to do a round robin for you guys. And,
sure.
You know.
And I think there's two extremes you can take. You can take it as they'd really be meaningful games. The guys would try really hard. Or you treat it like an NFL preseason game, which are a joke. Couldn't have been somewhere in the middle if these teams knew our playoff seeding's not affected, but it's in our best interest to go out there and with the coaches, you know, pushing them on this. Guys, these are to get ready for the playoffs. And that to me, that seemed like a better option than, hey, these three games are going to decide the first through the four seeds in a conference where the Bruins were clear and gone, and they were secretariat at the Belmont to win the thing. They already had the Eastern Conference wrapped up. There was no catching them. There'll be a million games. They weren't going to get
caught.
By the
way, they were playing some of their best hockey of the year at the time the league got shut down.
But why not just, if you're doing 24 teams, that's 12 from each conference, why not just the Bruins, the one seed, they play the 12 seed? Make life easy for everybody. 1 versus 12, 2 versus 11, and so
I like that better, too, Wiggy. You know, I like that idea better than what they came up
because
with.
Because
the problem is, then you've got six teams that come out of that first round.
Well, I mean, yeah.
How do you then play the next round of the playoffs with six teams?
Tricky math. We do the Andy Hart thing.
No, I'm just saying. That's the issue. I understand what Wiggy's saying.
Then,
then
it would go from 12 to 6, right? And then you'd go, and then it'd go to 3? So you're saying how can you get to that point?
Somebody has to get a bye. Well, right. Could they have given both top
seeds a bye? You have to have a bye.
Okay. So then give one team a bye, right?
If you only then you got 15. That doesn't work either. Or 11, I should say. That doesn't work either. This is the only way that works to keep the playoffs on a somewhat normal schedule. I don't even have a problem with the top four teams have a bye. These other eight teams, they play a best of five to kick things off. Now, to me, and this hasn't been decided yet, is how do you then play from what is the second round on? Is it a bracket? Do you reseed everybody? Do the Bruins as the number one seed, if they come out of this round robin as the one seed, do they get to play the worst team that's left, or do they play the winner of 8-9, which is how it is set up right now?
Well, they should play the worst team left.
Yeah, it should right? Just the seeding should be based on where they are right now. So the Bruins should be the one seed in the Eastern Conference.
They are.
Right
now they are.
And that's technically, but they can lose that.
They
correct?
Could.
Right,
now,
but
theoretically,
there should be no round robin.
Theoretically, the number four seed in this round robin could go 3-0, and the team that won the President's Trophy, they are the regular season champions, the best point total in the NHL, could be like the three seed.
Yeah.
In a rush to get in, I won't say in a rush, but in a way to try to balance out, because the Avalanche played 69 games and finished 2 points back of the Blues in the Western Conference. I guess we're going to try to change the entire seeding in the entire league.
No,
to me,
it's the people
dumb.
That are running this are morons, because it's not okay. That difficult. Just
well, wait a minute. They're morons. You just gave me a playoff system that doesn't work.
Well, how do we finish that? How do we fix that, right? The experts are the true idiots. Right.
I got to be honest with you. As much as I wanted to bitch about it, I couldn't come up with a better idea.
So how many teams do you need there's 24 teams, so there's going to be 12 each conference, right?
Yeah.
So why can't you just have the Bruins the one seed and then there's the 12 seed? If you want to give the Bruins or the top two teams a bye in order so you can make it work, then just do it that way. What's so difficult?
Or Wiggy, that's fine. I guess we all have different opinions. Or just run them as scrimmages and say, guys, the top four seeds are set. The Bruins are the one. The 2, 3, and 4, where you are now is where you are.
Right. So you could do that. And to me,
you guys play three scrimmages and get yourselves ready for the next round.
Now, that makes the most sense.
Of course it does. But
and if you've got a veteran team like the Bruins, where presumably guys like Zdeno Chara and Patrice Bergeron and obviously Bruce Cassidy is the coach, that they're going to make sure that, hey, we're taking this seriously here. You know, we got to get ready for the playoffs. We're going to play this thing for real here. A team like that would probably be fine under those circumstances. That makes more sense.
Isn't it easier just to keep the seeding as is? And then if you need to do the top two teams four by to make it that the next rounds will be able to work out, just do it that way.
It doesn't work.
Yeah, I'd have
to
go back and look at the points and where they finish. So I just don't know, you know, with the top two clear for sure, we're 2 and 3 potentially tied in one of the conferences. I've not gone back and looked. But what you're doing in that case is rewarding the top two instead of technically the top four. Even that is a better plan. And, Dale, my feeling on it and thinking about it this morning was it's sort of a TV thing. They want these games to seem important. They want to be able to put as many of these quote-unquote playoff games on TV. If I call them scrimmages, I can't really put them on TV. If I say they're round-robin playoff games, guess what? Then Bruins Lightning means something. NBC Sports Network or one of their 19 affiliates, they'll find a way on this NBC network of stations to play. Now I can sell them. So to me, they put money over the regular season, which is if I'm a player and I think of how many games I played to get to this point and now the money of a couple extra games is worth more than the 70 games I played, I'd be pissed off today. That's my annoyance about this.
I understand that they're trying to salvage everything they can salvage financially, and the players have a vested interest in it as well. Next year's salary cap is based on this year's revenue, and the players have got a voice in this as well. They've got a financial stake in this. But I'll just give you a number just to give you an idea. According to Gary Bettman, when they get to the point of playing games, the plan is to test players on a daily basis. Now, he says that would not be possible now, but by the time we get to playing, the medical experts tell me there will be plenty of tests available then. You can do this. You can test on a daily basis. It's going to be somewhere in the vicinity of 25,000 tests at a cost reportedly of several millions of dollars. Well, I mean, you're already pooching the live gate and the concessions and the parking and all of that stuff. So they're just trying to figure out a way to salvage as much money as they can. And I get it. But to your point, Mutt, look, if the Bruins do their job, this won't matter. Go out in the round robin, do what you're supposed to do. Come out of it with the number one seed like you're supposed to do. We're all fine. Everything is go from there. Just don't screw it up.
Yeah, you can spin it that way. I like that. They're taking a negative and turning it to a positive. I'm sure Cassidy will do that. If they need the money that bad, then don't come back and play because you made your regular season essentially at the top irrelevant. Congratulations, Bruins! You won the President's Trophy. Now go win 2 out of 3, or maybe you have to go 3-0 to get that number one.
No,
seed.
You don't. I actually think, and I'd have to do the math. I actually think depending on who wins what, they could win one of the three and still be the number one seed. And by the way, if they go out there and go 0-3 in the round robin, maybe they're not what we thought they were.
Yeah, but why does it have to be so difficult to do that, right? Why can't it be where? So what would be the ideal? What's the ideal number of it in of teams, and so you could have fine rounds, right? Would it have to be 10 teams and the top two teams get a bye? So if there's 12 teams in a conference, the top two teams get a bye, and would you be able to then go, okay, 3 versus 10, 4 versus 9, would that then lead you into the second and third round?
To Mutt's point, they're trying to be as fair as they can.
But you can't be fair.
All right, so it's the Bruins who aren't getting fair then. You can't be fair. You're right. It's not fair for the Bruins. So what?
So you make it you do it the best way.
Make it fair for the Bruins, but not for other team.
No, you'd make it fair for the way that it would be. The way we ended the season, this is how the standings are going to be. So what, the Bruins played 3 more games than, a team who only played 68 games, right? Because that's the difference you're talking about. The fair way to do it is the way you ended the season, that's the way you seed. Don't reseed, don't do anything of that. Split the two conferences, 1 through 12 in the East, 1 through 12 in the West. And now whether it's the top two teams that get byes or the top three teams, however you need to do it to figure out so your rounds are set for your second round, your third round.
The problem, Wiggy, is that by the time you get to the third round, you've got 3 teams in the East. How are you going to have
– it's an odd number of teams.
You don't have a playoff series for everybody. The way you're saying it, I understand what you're trying to do from a fairness standpoint. It doesn't work mathematically. You can't do it.
They also get a chance here with this dumb round-robin thing. They can guarantee the top 4 seeds in each conference at least get to whatever they're calling the second round. And that's also going to be important for the star power of this thing, the ratings of this thing, and again, going back to the finances of it, to chase that the dollar, they're going to want to see great ratings in that first round and go back to tell their advertisers, look at all the fans that are watching. We're starved for sports. Here's how we're going to rate you out. And I understand the players' aspect of this because it's tied into the salaries next year. It just ends up telling you as a fan, well, the regular season didn't mean that much.
Because real world got in the way. Normally this would never be the case. Obviously, everything's different this year. Everything's changed. We'd never do this again, but under the circumstances, this is the best we can come up with.
Yeah, and to their credit, they're the first sport to come forward with this. As these sports do this, we're going to have little bitches about all of it because that's what we do as sports fans. But to they're not. It's not Major League Baseball, which we'll get to at some point, I'm sure.
Oh,
at least they have a plan in place to try to get it done.
A plan and even in place then, that's been agreed on by both the owners and the players.
And even then, in reading the proposal and the agreement, even then, you have to have doubts if they're going to be able to, from to steal Glenn's line, Captain Optics here, if somebody or someone's plural test positive, how are they going to handle it? You know, that's still the biggest question to me. But
I guarantee you somebody's going to test positive.
Yeah, there's going to be multiple people test positive.
Now, the difference here, and we talked about this before, the Mexican Soccer League shut things down when they had 12 players on one team test positive, and they said, you know what, we're done. We're out. Now, if you had 12 members of the Bruins all test positive at the same time, this thing might be, you know, done from the beginning.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen. I was shocked when Rudy Gobert tested positive, Mutt. And Wiggy, you've been in locker rooms before. And, you know, if somebody's got the flu, before you know it, every single guy in the locker room's got the flu. They throw players out. Get out of here. Don't get everybody else sick. Rudy Gobert tested positive. I thought every guy on that team would be positive at that point. Didn't turn out that way.
It was one other player, Donovan Mitchell. And
yeah.
I don't think anyone else from the immediate staff. And
nope.
Maybe now, because we know more about it, it's even less likely to get it. Remember, Gobert got criticized because he joked about it. He coughed on everyone's microphone the day before at the press conference. I don't think that's going to happen.
He is, huh?
Again, during the NHL.
Now, he has subsequently said, you know what, I was an idiot. I didn't take it seriously. My bad. But when you see the vision of him at the end of that press conference touching everybody's microphones, and it's like, come on, what are you doing here?
I know. Now, given what we know, Wiggy, everything shut down, our entire world different because this guy's coughing on microphones. My kids aren't going to school in September. This guy's coughing on microphones.
What a moron.
We'll talk to Andrew Raycroft, former Bruins goaltender, my Nesson colleague, about this whole thing. My first thought, like I said at the top, fellas, when I first heard Bettman talking about this, I went, man, the Bruins are getting screwed. And then I realized there is not a plan you can put forward where there isn't going to be some team who's going to say, hey, you're screwing me here. There is no perfect way to do this. And as I said, if you're the Bruins, don't screw this up. Just go do what you're supposed to do in the round robin, preserve your first overall seed, and then go on and win the cup. Stop whining, and they're not, by the way. I'm just using this as an example. Don't whine about the system that it is. Just go out and do it. Isn't that the easy thing to do?
Yeah, obviously that's the easiest thing to do, but I don't know why it's so difficult to just the way it ended, just the way you seed it. I'm confused.
I know. I keep trying to help you on this.
But I don't get it. If there's 12 teams from each conference, right, where are we getting an extra number of teams, right?
Normally you have 16 playoff teams
right.
in the NHL playoffs. They're trying, again, to save as much as they can financially.
Mm-hmm.
They've put these extra 8 teams into the playoffs to try to get more money in for the players and the owners. They've added to the playoff pool, and they've done the best they can do under the circumstances.
But I get that part. But if they're splitting them up 12 and 12, right? So isn't there a way to figure out how do we, you know, whether it's the first 2 teams get buys in each conference or the first 3 teams get a bye?
The problem there is if the first 2 teams in the conference get a bye, then you've got 10 teams left.
Okay.
How do you know, then? Oh, so at the end of that round, you've got 5 teams who survived the first round and the 2 bye teams. Now you got 7 teams.
All right.
So then
what's the magic number? Then the first 3 teams get a bye?
I think they have the magic number.
No. But is it the first?
I think the way they did it is the best you could do.
So
I don't think there's a better way to do this.
Okay, so then why not just give the first 4 teams a bye and let them be seeded as is? If that's the best way to do it, right?
You could do it, but I think Mutt hit the nail on the head here.
Money, Wiggs.
Money matters. It matters to the owners. It matters to the players. It matters to the networks. It matters.
Wiggy, you were all league hockey. We know you were a hockey star, and you got hockey sources like Fourier. If you're told, if you're sitting down, you know, I know nothing's on TV, but if you're sitting down to watch a game and you know it's a scrimmage game versus a game that might mean something in the playoffs, is Jermaine Wiggins watching a scrimmage
of
hockey teams?
No, but why?
And that's
even,
it right there.
But why?
Money. Cash rules everything around me. Cream, get the money. Dollar bills.
So they just want that round robin to get the money then.
Those games. They want That's what 9, 12 games, whatever it is. I'm terrible at the math.
Mm-hmm.
That they can say are technically extra playoff games, and so they can sell them. I don't know if those will be regional because they're round robin. I don't know if those will be on the network. My guess is they will be, and they'll try to space all these things out. Because you'll watch, Wiggy, if you think, well, if the Bruins win this and the Lightning lose that one, then they'll be the one seed versus the two. There's interest for you to watch. If it's a scrimmage, and it just which I still would do.
Even a Bruins fan is not going to be that fired up about watching the Bruins playing in a scrimmage game.
Yeah, it comes down. Wiggy, you're probably right. There was a better, more fair way to do it, but this way puts the money ahead of
This gives them an extra, you know, round.
X amount of games with the best teams, by the way, with technically the best teams. So the top eight in the NHL will play each other. So what they can sell it as, you might be seeing a Stanley Cup preview in the first, or an Eastern Conference, West Conference final preview in the first round. Could these teams meet down the road in a conference final? And they'll be, that's much more sellable, I would think, to a sports audience than, hey, come watch the Bruins and Lightning play a scrimmage.
617-779-7937. We'll give you a chance to react to this whole thing as well. We'll get Andrew Raycroft's thoughts in just a couple of minutes. By the way, congratulations to Tuukka Rask and Yaroslav Halak. They are the winners of the Jennings Trophy in the NHL. Congratulations to David Pastrnak. He is the co-winner of the Rocket Richard Trophy as the league's leading goal scorer. I retweeted out a video that Seely Godwin from Nesson put out last night. There was a game, and I remember it vividly, where literally Pastrnak and Marchand have stolen the puck, offensive end, empty net. Pasternak's looking at the empty net, passes it over to Marchand, lets him score the empty netter. That's the goal that cost him sole possession of the Rocket Richard Trophy right there. That one. Because he selflessly gave it up to Marchand. He is tied now with Alexander Ovechkin. Andrew Raycroft joins us next. Dale and Keefe, Wiggy's in the house. Mutt's in the house.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
Hey, let's go. There's going to be a lot of traffic on the way to the game.
Don't worry. I got Bruins plate. People get out of our way.
Au revoir. Have a good game.
Great plates. I want them too.
Are you even old enough to drive?
Mock it if you will. That thing won an Emmy. Joining us on the Harbor One Hotline is former Boston Bruins goaltender Andrew Raycroft, my Nesson colleague. Andrew, brought to you by Star Market, the official supermarket of the Boston Bruins. Hello, Andrew.
Morning, guys. How's everyone making out?
Great. How are you doing?
Beautiful. Nice sunny day again in Boston. Love it.
Well, it sounds as though there are still some hurdles to be cleared, but at least we're on the path of a return for the National Hockey League for the Stanley Cup playoffs. What were your thoughts when you heard the plan put forth by Gary Bettman yesterday?
Hope and excitement were the first two things that I thought of. It's just exciting to be able to talk about hockey, exciting to talk about matchups and actual real hockey, not just what might things look like. And it's going to be, you know, another couple months, there's going to be changes, things are going to move. It's a moving target, but to have a plan in place and have an idea what things are going to look like is exciting for me.
Well, I would have preferred the plan, Andrew, that these top four seeds, I don't have to play a round robin. I would have preferred a scrimmage, but you tell me as a former player, would the scrimmage games have been a better setup versus, hey, the top four seeds are now reliant on this round robin? Would you like the way they did that?
I do. And originally you look at it and you're like, oh, you know, first overall, that if they're going to lose out and everything else. But I think the reality is I think they want to have games that mean something rather than a scrimmage. If you're just playing preseason games and you're able to not get that competitive juice going, I think you're at a major disadvantage when the top eight happens. So I think it's okay for those top four teams to have games that mean something, have games that get the competitive juices going to that next level, and they're not flat-footed for when the top eight happens.
Yeah, but Andrew, is it fair for, like, say, a team like Boston who, you know, was the one seed and looked like they were going to be the one going all the way through, and if they have to do this, you know, round robin, and they play a team like the Flyers who would fall into that fourth seed, could the Flyers have caught in them if they finished the season?
They wouldn't have catch them. So there's a few things here. I might get a little long-winded, but so number one is circumstances are what kind of screwed the Bruins, right? Mm-hmm. There's no home ice advantage. They're not getting four rounds of home ice advantage. Number two, NHL, we see it every year. You guys the last half hour talking about Secretariat. They were running away with it. Well, Tampa Bay had the best regular season in the history of NHL last year, and they got bounced in four games by the eight seed. So eight seeds do win in the NHL. It's not like basketball or even football where those bottom seeds, there's a huge difference. So I don't think it would have mattered, especially without having home ice advantage, of the difference between one and eight. And the final thing is the team that got screwed the most, if you look at it, is in the West Conference. The Edmonton Oilers had more points than the Dallas Stars, but they have to play in the play-in round based on percentage points, and the Dallas Stars move into that fourth seed. I think you still have a major advantage being in that top four, moving through, and who knows what these teams are going to look like come July, August. So I think being a four seed or a one seed at the end of it all, it isn't going to make a difference. You're going to have to beat the teams that are playing the best, and there's going to be no advantage when it comes down to home ice and things like that.
We should point out that what we saw announced yesterday was the result of a long negotiation between the NHL and the Players Association, reportedly as good a relationship as they've had in recent memory. And according to Gary Bettman, the round robin that is involved at the beginning in both the East and the West was something the Players Association asked for, because to your point, Andrew, playing scrimmage games in a round robin just is not going to get it done, and then you dive right into the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Exactly, and the players want to have games that mean something. They want to get their bodies tuned up for that. They don't want to go into a first round and blow a hamstring in game one because they were just playing scrimmages compared to a team that was fighting for their lives to get into the playoffs. So I think for everybody involved, it's as good of a situation as they can have right now. And again, for the players, they want to have meaningful games and be able to be on par with the other eight teams that are playing the play-in round.
Dave Poulin was on with us yesterday, Andrew, and he suggested he thought the goaltending might be something that takes a hard time to come back, and that might be slow to come back. Is he calling you soft as a goaltender, or is that a possibility that goalies will need some time here?
That's a shot across the bow. So, yes, somewhat, but I look at it the other way. Goalies can get a lot more work done in these coming weeks. Like, they're on the ice now doing goalie drills that they can simulate game situations in goalie drills much easier than players can when there's only six guys out on the ice. So goalies are going to be able to get a ton of work done here in the next 6 to 8 weeks in small groups that can simulate game situations that can get them ready for games right away. Obviously, you have a confidence issue. Obviously, you have bounces that happen in games. And when you're feeling good, those bounces go your way. But I think physically and mentally, goalies are actually going to be more prepared come playoff time because they're going to be able to simulate for a lot longer what game situations are than players are.
Now, should we look at this then, because it seems like, and we had talked about this a little bit right before we got on with you, should we look at the round robin as a advantage for the Bruins in the sense that I think if a team had a bye and they hadn't been playing hockey in a long period of time, I feel like they would be at a disadvantage because they got to knock that rust off. And then the first time that they're going to have a chance to knock that rust off would actually be a playoff game that mattered, a playoff series that matters. Where the Bruins playing in this round robin, does that now give them that ability to knock the rust off in real game action without having to kind of worry about losing a series and being done?
No question. And I think, again, that goes to the point of one or four seed. You know, I think they'd rather that opportunity to lose out and go to the four seed than be the first seed and just be sitting there, sitting ducks for that team that comes out of the bottom. So I look at that. I think all the teams in the top four are going to look at it the same way in the positive aspect, especially the Bruins, the culture they have, the character guys they have. They're going to take it very seriously, that round robin. They're still going to try and be the first seed just for pride, and they're going to be ready to go come 1-8, 2-7 playoff situation.
How dramatic, and we're talking with Andrew Raycroft, a former Bruins goaltender and my Nesson colleague, how dramatic is it that you're going to be playing in empty arenas, in neutral sites? My guess, if I was guessing here right now, I'd say Vegas and Edmonton would be my front runners to be the two hub cities based on things that I've read and heard. But, you know, if the Bruins are playing in Edmonton and they're playing against the Pittsburgh Penguins, no home crowd, none of that emotion, how hard is it to play in those circumstances, especially in a Stanley Cup playoff scenario?
It's going to take getting used to it. It will be a little difficult to start, and that's what will go all the way back to the round robin again, playing meaningful games in a building that's completely empty and getting the feel for that and understanding what you need to do to get your body going without the 20,000 people giving you that extra adrenaline and not making it feel like just a practice or a scrimmage in the morning. So that gives those guys playing real games in front of nobody. I think that's just as important as anything else to get the feeling of what that's like and how to get yourself ready going for those games.
Do you think the players, Andrew, are going to view this as a legit Stanley Cup, or is it going to be looked at with an asterisk there at the end saying, well, they won it, but it was the COVID Cup, you know, that year?
Everybody who doesn't win it might say it was the COVID Cup, but the guys who have a ring, guys that have their names on it, and guys that have battled through four rounds, and maybe even, you know, four and a half rounds at the end of it, they're going to be tired. They're going to have spent a lot of energy, and they're going to have put a lot of sacrifice into doing that. So maybe in a year from now, we're still going to talk about the fact that there was nobody there and the whole thing. But I think 15 years from now, guys are going to look back on it, and it's probably going to be more difficult to actually win this Stanley Cup than ones in the previous years.
Final question before we let you go. Is there some advantage, if you're a Bruins fan, you're looking for everything you can get here, is there some advantage? You've got a veteran team that played a lot of minutes last year to a seventh game of a Stanley Cup final. I'm trying to figure out a scenario in which this break may actually be an advantage for guys like Chara and Bergeron and guys like that.
They're going to be so much more rested had they been if they were still playing hockey right now through these last 2 months. They're going to be so much more rested. I think the character, the culture that they have, like I said, the system they play translates. They can go, they're going to be able to jump out and play the exact same system they played for the last 12 years here in the Bruins. So I think this whole thing is an advantage for the Bruins. It's an advantage for the team like the St. Louis Blues, the same thing. They both had very short summers last year, didn't get as much rest as everyone else. And now they've got that rest, and now they understand how to win. Because at the end of the day, you still have to understand as a team how to win in these playoff games, and it's going to be even harder because there's nobody in the stands. There's no home ice advantage. So I think a team like the Bruins, like the Blues, that have won games, that have veteran teams, are at a major advantage come once they get started here.
Our entire Bruins telecasting crew got a chance to work remotely together last week for the first time since this all happened. You'll see it coming up soon on Nesson. But, Andrew, I think we're going to get a chance to work together for real here in the next couple of months. I appreciate the time as always.
Absolutely, guys. Have a great day. And, yeah, I'm so pumped to have this going again and talking. So it's exciting. It's a great thing, and there's some hitches, but it'll all work out in the end, and it's all going to be exciting for all of us hockey fans, no question.
Thanks, Andrew.
Thanks, Andrew.
Later.
See ya. Andrew Raycroft joining us. Now, an interesting take. Two teams who would definitely be advantaged by this are the Bruins and the Blues.
See, I kind of disagree with that, though, because you're talking about, you know, when you look at the getting, knocking the rust off as a former player, right? These guys have been sitting for, it's going to be a couple of months. Then they're going to get, what, 25, 30 days of being able to get back on the ice, try to get back into somewhat shape, and then really get into game shape, right? And the only way you can get into game shape is by playing games. So I think the first couple of rounds of the playoffs are going to be like the first, you know, couple of the first couple of games of a regular season where it's not going to look
the same for everybody.
Yeah, yeah, that's
what we're talking about is teams that played to the seventh game of the Stanley Cup final last summer, had a shorter summer than anybody else, have some veteran guys. This is going to help those teams.
But I would love to ask those guys, does the, you know, 2.5 months of rest, does that mean anything versus knowing that you hadn't gotten much rest, but you're the rust that where you would be right now in the postseason, you wouldn't have no rust. Now you're going to have rust.
No, you'd have exhaustion, though.
Right, but I'd rather deal with exhaustion because mentally I can maybe push through that than dealing with having fresh legs but being super rusty.
See, I wonder what teams, and Wiggy, I'm sure you played on different types of teams, like what teams had leadership where guys kept working out and were consistent with it versus the teams that come back and it was
guys. But it
guys
doesn't matter what you do, Mutt, though. It really, and no matter what sport it is, the professional athletes will tell you, no matter how much you work out and you're on your own or whether you want to go to the, you know, it's a little bit different for them because they got to get to rinks and they haven't had that opportunity. But the only way you really get into that game shape or get those game legs of knocking that rust off is by playing games. And there are no games that, except for the round robin, which I think benefits the Bruins and those teams that are there, that are meaningless, right? So you have some exhibition games or, in, you know, during the beginning of a year, you can lose a couple games and say, all right, we'll hit our stride later on in the season, where besides the round robin, after that, every game is meaningful.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. We'll give you a chance to jump in if you're a Bruins fan or a hockey fan about whether you like this system that they've put in place under extraordinary circumstances, whether you think, as Andrew does, it could be an advantage for the Bruins, or maybe as Wiggy does, that it could be a disadvantage for the Bruins. 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keefe. Wiggy and Mutt are in for Rich today here on Sports Radio WEEI.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela is the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Ready for more?
Dale and Keith on WEEI.
The top four seeds are now reliant on this round robin. Would you like the way they did that?
I do. And originally you look at it and you're like, oh, the, you know, first overall, that they're going to lose out and everything else. But I think the reality is I think they want to have games that mean something rather than a scrimmage. If you're just playing preseason games and you're able to not get that competitive juice going, I think you're at a major disadvantage when the top eight happens.
Andrew Raycroft, who joined us a few moments ago, said, like me, his first thought was, oh, I don't know if I like this or not. And then he put some thought into it, and I admitted to you guys earlier on, I looked at it a little more closely last night and thought, all things being equal, this is probably about as good as they can do under the circumstances. I feel bad in you know, a strange, not real world sense for a kid like David Pastrnak, you know, who finishes the year tied with Alexander Ovechkin for the goal-scoring lead in the NHL. But on the pace he was on, He was on a pace for 56 goals and 111 points. Would have been the first Bruins player to top 110 points since Adam Oates did it. But he's also, he literally just turned 24 in the last week. Somehow I think he'll have some opportunities to maybe duplicate this again in the future.
Yeah, I mean, whatever that leap is called, where you make that leap to the superstar, I mean, the numbers be damned. Like, he did that. And so now he'll be looked at differently no matter where he finished in those standings. Well, you've talked about him quite a bit the last year and a half. And he emerged as one of the real elite goal scorers in the league. And that doesn't get taken away by whatever numbers he ended up.
No. And I think ultimately all the players really are concerned with, having an opportunity to play for the Stanley Cup. Yeah, it would be great to, get individual, accolades or awards. But I bet you Pasta is only concerned about hockey being back and having a chance to make a run at the Cup.
Do the NHL guys, do they have, like, these awards bonuses? I know in some sports they still allow
those.
That would suck. If some guy was on his way to an award or some sort of title and is going to lose money out of it,
I bet they don't, because the NHL has guaranteed contracts like Major League Baseball and the NBA. So I bet they don't really need to have incentive-based contracts.
Even in baseball, like, you win sometimes guys win a gold glove or you finish X in the MVP, you still get some sort of bonus if your contract says that. So even with the guarantees, there are some bonuses still available.
A little bit later on, we'll talk about Major League Baseball. It is fair to say that the attitude between ownership and management and the players is not quite the same in Major League Baseball as it is in the NHL. And we'll talk more about baseball in a little bit. What has been said about the NHL is that the relationship between Donald Fehr as the head of the Players Association and Gary Bettman as the commissioner of the NHL, it's as good as it's ever been right now. And, they've got a CBA coming up in the next couple of years, and it sounds as though they've got an opportunity here to maybe pull this thing together properly.
But wasn't their biggest thing with the NHL, wasn't it really the length of the contracts, right? Those ridiculous 12-year contracts that guys were signing. Wasn't that, like, the biggest thing, and they were able to fix that? Now you only see, like, what, 6-year deals, maybe – every now and then you'll get a 7-year deal. But wasn't that the biggest thing a few years ago with the NHL, was just the length of the contracts? And I think if they're able to figure that out and they're able to, the money, if it continues to grow and the players, are going to be happy with what they're getting, I think that's the only thing that really matters.
You get the sense reading about, and the details are one thing about what was, proposed by Major League Baseball to the MLBPA yesterday. And you look at the overall numbers, you say, oh, my God, you're asking them to take this kind of a pay cut. And then on the other side of it, it's, oh, they're millionaires. I mean, come on, Mike Trout couldn't live on $7 million a year. All of those silly things that people say. As Kevin Pillar pointed out on Twitter in the last half hour, 65% of the players in Major League Baseball make $1 million or less. It's not what you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
The big numbers jump out at everybody. And by the way, I'm not saying $1 million is not a lot of money. I know it is in the real world. But my point is, we think all of these guys are multi-million dollar players every year. 65% of the players in MLB make $1 million or less.
And I bet you it's like that in a lot of sports. But the problem is, the only numbers that they see are the huge contracts that the superstars signed. So they don't see, they don't see the contract that, player 23 on the Red Sox makes. The only thing that they see is the Xander Bogaerts contract, or they see the Mookie Betts, or, the Mike Trout. They don't see, there's a ton of guys, and it's like that in every sport. They only see the Brady contract. They don't, see the James Devlin contract, and you go, oh, well, that guy, isn't making a ton of money, but... And I think that's the biggest thing. So that's why fans look at it. And even with the Major League Baseball thing, I think that's why fans look at it and go, wait a second, these guys can't. Well, guess what? When you make more money, you live at a higher means, So it's just, I think that's the problem that a lot of fans don't get. They look at it and go, yeah, I could live off of $7 million. But guess what? When you're earning $7 million, you're not living in a $300,000 house.
Well, and the other part of this is that with baseball specifically, Wiggy, there's a real small middle class. A lot of guys make a lot of money, and then because the way the rules are set up, where you're under this long deal until you hit arbitration, and even then it's 3 years of even only incremental pay bumps, that there's no real middle class. And to Pilar's point, there are plenty of conspiracy theorist guys who think that's why baseball set up the salary structure the way they did, when, and we'll get to more of it, but the guys taking the biggest pay cuts are the guys making the most money, and the guys who make the least amount of money are taking the fewest pay cuts.
Which
and what
should be the way it is, right?
Well,
and I'm just using this as, mm-hmm. as an example. If you're making $500,000 a year,
mm-hmm.
and we're going to ask you to take a 5% pay cut,
mm-hmm.
and if you're making $35 million a year, but we're asking you to take a 30% pay cut, that seems fair to me. I'm using numbers that I made up out of,
right.
but I'm saying, if you're making $500,000, you shouldn't give up the same percentage as Mike Trout does.
I mean, but I think that's a little bit that's different in the sense of like, all right, in the tax bracket world we live in, okay. But in Major League Baseball, if I'm the guy, Mike Trout, why should I give up more money? You know, why should I have to give up more money?
Why should the guy making minimum wage, I'm using Major League minimum, why should he give up the same percentage of his paycheck as Mike Trout's given up?
Then that's where we run into a problem as players. I don't think the guy should, but I don't think Mike Trout should have to take a larger pay cut because he makes more money.
I think the larger pay cut's okay. I think we'll go over the numbers here coming up in a couple minutes. The numbers are pretty extreme what they did here.
It's huge.
They went over the top in terms of, you know, what they're going to do to the highest salary players. Because I know they're taking a proration knock already, but even after that, and I've been someone who has killed the players, mm-hmm. Blake Snell to Bryce Harper. This seems pretty extreme.
There ain't going to be no baseball, man.
Well,
not
unless,
after seeing
unless
that.
Wiggy, unless this
I think
like
cooler
negotiation
heads will
101.
Prevail. Yes, exactly. I think they'll finally say, wait a minute. Can we afford to lose the whole season? If the NHL's back and the NBA's back and the NFL plays their season and we're the sport that can't get our act together,
I don't think players care about that.
They won't have any way to make that $35 million.
Yeah, I don't think they care about that. I think they ultimately think that it'll come back around, but I don't think they're caring about other sports playing.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We'll give you some of the details of what Major League Baseball and its Players Association are battling about in just a couple of minutes. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.